إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا، والصلح خير، وأحضرت الأنفس الشح، وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ليس منا من خبب امرأة على زوجها أو عبدا على سيده، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, Islam by its very nature and temperament advocates and promotes peace and reconciliation, be it with one's friend or foe. Allah Rabbul Izzat makes mention in the Quran, وَإِن جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that if the enemy is at any stage inclined towards peace, then O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you also incline towards peace. وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهِ, and if you are afraid that perhaps they will deceive you under the pretext of peace, then put your trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for you. Amongst the many contentious issues which the Western media ideally misinterpret to add to their anti-Islamic campaign is the critical issue of jihad. Amongst the many issues which they ideally misinterpret, the quotation of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, which appears in Ilaqatul Dawliya, very clearly illustrates the Muslim viewpoint on the issue of jihad. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, لَقَدْ كَانَ حَرْبُهُمْ لِإِتْمِنَانٍ عَلَىٰ أَمْرَيْنِ دِيَارُهُمْ مِنْ أَنْ تُغْزَى وَدِينُهُمْ مِنْ أَنْ يُطْمَسِ. Whenever the Muslims fought a legitimate war, a justified war, it was for one of two reasons. Either their land was being invaded or their deen was being trampled. Otherwise, the Quran says, فَإِنِ اعْتَزَلُوكُمْ فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمُ فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. That if the enemies withdraw and they surrender and they make peace the option, then O Muslims, Allah has not given you any legitimate grounds to wage war against them. Nabi alayhi salam dispatched a group of Sahaba in a particular direction. They were about to smite the enemy when one amongst them stood up and he says, O Muslim, please do not hit me, I'm a Muslim. And he recited the kalima. Sahabas debated amongst themselves, is this man genuinely a Muslim or is he reciting and pronouncing and articulating the kalima to protect himself? After much debate, they decided that no, this man is reading the kalima with ulterior motives. And they went ahead and they hit this person and they killed him. When they returned and they narrated it to Nabi alayhi salam, he was extremely disturbed and perturbed. And subsequently, the verses were revealed. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. And don't ever say you are not a Muslim to a person who surrenders to you, offers peace to you and recite the kalima. Whether it is genuine or verbally from his tongue, Allah is responsible. But as soon as a person negotiates with peace, it is the duty of a Muslim to drop down his weapons. On the occasion of Hudaybiyah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I swear by Allah in whose control is my life, I will surrender to any peace proposal made by the kuffar, provided it does not infringe on the orders of Allah Ta'ala. And with regards to reconciliation amongst ourselves, as the Quran says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, that if Muslims are quarreling amongst themselves, then it is the duty of other Muslims to come and to reconcile between these two quarreling parties. There is a hadith which Imam Hakim rahmatullah alayhi has narrated. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, we were sitting with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam when suddenly there was a broad smile on the face of Nabi alayhi salam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ma adhakaka ya Rasulallah. Oh Nabi of Allah, very strange. What is the wisdom of your smile? Nabi alayhi salam said, Umar, what can I tell you? I am actually visualizing a scene that is to prevail on the day of Qiyamah. رَجُلَانِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي جَثَيَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, two of my followers will kneel before Allah. One will say to the other in the court of Allah, يَا رَبِّ خُذْ لِي مَظْلِمَتِي مِنْ أَخِي. Oh Allah, my brother had oppressed me, and you had promised that justice will prevail on the day of Qiyamah. Allah, I want justice to prevail in the matter between me and my brother. Allah will then intercede on behalf of the other person and say, مَا تَصْنَعُ بِأَخِيكَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ شَيْءٍ. What are you trying to claim from your brother? The man has absolutely no credit to his account. So the latter person will answer by saying, Allah, with respect to his situation, but I am desperate. If he cannot give me his credit, فَلْيَحْمِلْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِ, then he must lighten my burden by sharing some of my sins. Nabi alayhi salam said this, and he started crying profusely. وَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْبُكَى. And then he said, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَيَوْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, that will be a great day. The desperation of man will know no bounds. That he'll get so desperate, if you cannot take my credit, that at least lighten my burden of sins. Allah will then tell him, okay, leave your brother, do me a favor, glance in that direction. He will lift his glance, he will lift his gaze. Allah will ask him, what can you see in that direction? He says, Allah, أَرَى مَدَائِنَ مِنْ ذَهَبْ وَقُصُورٍ مِنْ ذَهَبْ مُكَلَّلَةً بِاللُّؤْلُؤْ لِأَيِّ نَبِيٍّ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ صِدِّيقٍ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ شَهِيدٍ هَذَا. Oh Allah, I can see palaces of gold and silver, I can see rivers and beautiful lakes. Oh Allah, for which prophet have you designed this? For which martyr have you built this? For which siddiq is this exclusively designated? Allah says, no, no, liman a'ta thaman, it is for the person who can give the price, this palace belongs to him. Qala wa man yamliku dhalik, oh Allah, who has the price for these palaces? Qala anta tamlikuhu, Allah will tell him, you have the price. Allah, me, I have it, tell me what it is and I'll give it to you now. Allah will then tell him, forgive your brother and the Jannah is yours. He says, Allah, if I forgive him, it's mine. Allah says, yes. He says, okay, Allah, I have forgiven him. Then Allah will tell him, now you hold your brother's hand and both of you go in the Jannah. Nabi alayhi salam then said, اتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم فإن الله يصلح بين المسلمين. Fear Allah and reconcile between the Muslims. This is such a noble action, even Allah will do it on the day of Qiyamah. Brothers, when reconciliation is so desired with our friends and even foe, can we imagine how desirable it will be in our marital relation? It is often that there is antagonism, there is some rift, there is some misunderstanding. But this is the ideal opportunity where we compromise and come to reconciliation. More so when the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam in Muslim Sharif, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates, Nabi alayhi salam said, Inna iblisa yada'u arshahu ala al-ma'. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُ سَرَايَاهُ. Daily the devil displays and puts down his throne. He sits on his throne and then he dispatches his agents to go and cause evil on this earth. فَأَدْنَاهُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَنْزِلَةً أَعْظَمُهُمْ فِتْنَةً. The closest to the devil is the one that can perpetrate the greatest wrong. In the evening they come and return and report back to him. So one person comes and he says, you know what, I managed to influence this man into some intoxicant. The devil says, okay, you did something but not very impressive. What about you? I managed to convince this man to commit this crime. He praises him, but he says, that's not ultimately what I wanted. A third person comes and he says, مَا تَرَكْتُهُ حَتَّى فَرَّقْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ امْرَأَتِي. I seen a couple, they were united. I managed to sow enmity between them, the seeds of enmity and hatred. I provoked one, got him angered, upset, and in a fit of anger, he divorced his wife. The devil stands up, embraces him, salutes him, congratulates him. He says, you have understood the object of my mission. The Quran says in the ayat al-kareema that I recited before you, وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا. If a woman fears disinclination from her husband, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. Then there is no harm upon them that they should try to amicably resolve their disputes. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. And reconciliation is the ideal situation. Reconciliation is the ideal situation. Now let us look into the life of Nabi alayhi salam. Ideally, the husband and wife should try and resolve their problems internally amongst themselves. The Quran speaks about bringing an outside arbitrator, but that is the second option and not the first option. Ideally, they should resolve it amongst themselves. Let me give you a balanced perspective from Quran and Hadith, where the wife compromises to safeguard the relation, and likewise the husband also compromises to safeguard the relation and to keep this marriage intact. When Sauda radiallahu anha, one of the honorable consorts and spouses of Nabi alayhi salam, had aged, and for whatever reason which the hadith does not disclose, Nabi alayhi salam intended divorcing her. Now look at the compromise this woman made. Reconciliation demands compromising. If we are not ready to compromise, we cannot reconcile. This woman, the wife of Nabi alayhi salam, came and she said, Ya Rasulallah, Have I hurt your feelings? Nabi alayhi salam says, no, you haven't hurt my feelings. O Nabi of Allah, I have one request. Now look at the vision of this woman. O Nabi of Allah, do not divorce me. Walakinni ub'ath. Uhibbu an ub'ath ma'a nisa'ika yawm al-qiyamah. It is my desire that I die as your wife and I stand up as your wife on the day of Qiyamah. I'm ready to make a compromise to save this relation. Don't divorce me. The night that you were to visit me, you can go visit your other wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. قَدْ جَعَلْتُ يَوْمِي مِنْكَ لِعَيْشَةَ Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the proposal, honored the sentiments, kept her in his nikah. فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقْسِمُ لِعَيْشَةَ يَوْمَيْنِ يَوْمَهَا وَيَوْمَ سَوْدَى Thereafter, Nabi alayhi salam used to visit Aisha radiallahu anha twice. One was her night and the night of Sauda radiallahu anha. Another incident, compromise from the wife. I will explain the other aspect as well. The riwayat comes in Bukhari. Aisha radiallahu anha is the narrator of the hadith. In Nabi alayhi salam's fatal illness, which had lasted for approximately 10 to 12 days, where his health was deteriorating. So Nabi alayhi salam was a very bashful person. He would not explicitly, emphatically explain his need, but he would make some subtle indications. And here again, this is the wisdom of a woman, if she can understand the indications of a husband and grasp it before he actually verbally expresses himself. Nabi alayhi salam asked his wives, Aina ana ghadan? Aina ana ghadan? Tell me, tomorrow by who am I going? And the night after that, it is by which wife? In other words, indicating, I'm passionately anticipating the night of Aisha. فَأَذِنَ لَهُ أَزْوَاجُهُ All the wives understood the indication of Nabi alayhi salam. All the wives understood and they willingly consented that, O Nabi of Allah, we forfeit our right and willingly you can station yourself at the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Now this again is wisdom from a woman. فَكَانَ فِي بَيْتِ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ anha حَتَّى مَاتَ عَنْهَا Nabi alayhi salam stayed at the house of Aisha until his blessed janazah left from the lap of Aisha in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. The third hadith appears in Ibn Majah under Kitab al-Nikah. Listen to the compromise that has to be made. Nabi alayhi salam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ خَبَّبَ إِمْرَأَةً عَلَى زَوْجِهَا That person is not part of my ummah who incites and provokes a woman against her husband. That person, often this happens. Now there are various ways of provoking a woman. One is to come to a woman, what you doing? I'm cooking for my husband. You mad to do things like this. Gone are the days you must serve your husband. Me, I'll never allow my husband to do it like this. Nabi alayhi salam says, that person is not part of my ummah who provokes a woman against her husband or comes and then praises other men before this woman and she'll feel that I'm in an oppressed relation. I'm a victim of abuse in my relation. My sister says that her husband is so kind. Oh, abdan ala sayyidihi. Or that person who provokes a slave against his master or an employee against the employer. Nabi alayhi salam becomes angry with his wife Safiya radiallahu anha. But look at how concerned she was. She came to Aisha radiallahu anha. She says, you know what? Myself and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had an argument and he's not talking with me. I'm prepared to give you my night. Understand the sacrifice. Every second in the company of my Nabi is better than 1,000 years of ibadat. Understand the sacrifice this woman made to patch up the relation. I am prepared to give you 24 hours, which was exclusive to me, divinely allocated to me by Allah. I will give it to you if you can patch up with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for me. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I seized the opportunity. She enjoyed that closeness. فَلَبِسْتُ خِمَارًا كَانَ عِنْدِي مَسْبُوغًا I had one beautiful scarf which I kept for occasions. I said, let me give the Nabi of Allah a surprise. I adorned myself, put on this new scarf. فَجَلَسْتُ إِلَىٰ جَنْبِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ I came and I sat down by his side. Nabi alayhi salam glanced at me and he said, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِيَوْمِكَ Go from here, Aisha, what are you doing today? It's not your time. So I smiled and I said, but that's the mercy of Allah for me. Nabi alayhi salam says, what do you mean? I said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاء Then she said, I told Nabi alayhi salam, I believe you and Safiya are not talking. Subhanallah, have we taken our time to explore the social life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Unfortunately, we are reading the lives of immoral celebrities. That is why it is jeopardizing our marriages. You won't find a more normal, kind, caring, loving Nabi and husband than the Nabi of Allah. So she says, I narrated it to Nabi alayhi salam and I said, O Nabi of Allah, Safiya told me that I must patch up and she gave me this one day. The Nabi of Allah got up and he was so impressed with Safiya radiallahu anha on the proposal of peace and reconciliation that he spent the night with Aisha radiallahu anha and he pardoned Safiya radiallahu anha permanently. Now here again, something very important, brothers, that when either of the partner comes to ask for apology, the Nabi of Allah says, a believer is one who forgives. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, مَنِ اسْتُغْذِبَ فَلَمْ يَغْضَبْ فَهُوَ حِمَارٌ وَمَنِ اسْتُرْضِيَ فَلَمْ يَرْضَى فَهُوَ شَيْطَانٌ. That person who is provoked and incited, and he doesn't become angry, he's not a human, he's some other creature. It's totally normal to become angry. Of course, Islam says control your tongue and your hands. But it is human to become angry because it is external situations that provoke you. But furthermore, Imam Shafi says, وَمَنِ اسْتُرْضِيَ. That person whose pleasure is being sought, and people come and apologize to him, and he flatly, you know, arrogantly refuses, then he is not a believer, he is the devil himself. And in the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, man atahu akhahu mutanassilan, that person to whom his brother comes and apologizes, the wife comes to apologize to the husband, or the husband comes to apologize to the wife, the Nabi of Allah says, falyaqbal dhalika muhiqqan kana aw mubtila, then accept the apology of your wife or your husband, whether he or she is innocent or guilty. فَإِن لَمْ يَفْعَلْ, if you will not accept the apology of your husband, your wife or your brother, لَمْ يَرِدْ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْضِ, Nabi alayhi salam says, the entire ummah will drink water from my hands at my pond. You will be deprived of water from my hands. Such a person will not be privileged with drinking water from my hands. So this is the one side of compromise to make this relation work. Let us look at the other situation from men. What can we contribute to make this marriage work? How we can look at mutual common grounds. The first hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, which appears in both Bukhari and Muslim, Nabi alayhi salam says, Al-mar'atu kadhil'i. The woman Allah has created like a rib. Rub that Allah has created, and look at the metaphor, the parable, the explanation of Nabi alayhi salam, which naturally is curbed, naturally has a sense of crookedness. This is not a blemish, this is not criticism to that rub nor to that woman, but this is the perfection of that rub. That rub will function normal and efficient when it is in the manner that Allah has created it, and it is naturally crooked. A person says, you know, I love bananas, it's a wonderful fruit, but I don't like it, it's bent, man. I need to straighten it. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, the beauty of a banana is that this is not a defect to it. Likewise, Allah has created a woman. She has certain weaknesses, but that is her beauty. That is her perfection. You know, in English they say, women are not meant to be understood, they're meant to be loved. Women are not meant to be understood, they are meant to be loved. This is the beauty of a woman. Allah has created her. Nabi alayhi salam says, if someone straightens that rub will not function. If you try and straighten that woman, and try and remove from her what is within her nature, إِن ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهَا كَسَرْتَهَا وَكَسْرُهَا طَلَاقُهَا, you will break that woman and you will break that marriage. Let me explain to you how the Nabi of Allah himself interacts on these sensitive issues of a woman. Brothers, Allah has favored a man with intellect, with competence, with skills. He is matured, he is responsible. But when it comes to the aspect of woman, is he not weak? Is he not feeble? Is he not hopeless? He has no control over himself. So with his weakness, this is part of the overall plan of Allah Ta'ala. Allah has created a woman. Unique Allah has designed her. She has certain weaknesses. Allah has given the men the sense of maturity. Nabi alayhi salam leaves for Hajjatul Wada. All his spouses join him. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha also joins him in his farewell Hajj. As they are traveling in the caravan, Safiya radiallahu anha's bedding was very heavy. And Aisha radiallahu anha's bedding was very light. On the contrary, Safiya radiallahu anha's camel was very slow and sluggish. And Aisha radiallahu anha's bedding was light and a camel was very swift. For the first thing, the Nabi of Allah did not compare between his wives. He didn't tell Safiya, look at your bedding, look at Aisha's bedding, why are you traveling so heavy? All he did was, so that the pace of the caravan could be faster, he said, حَوِّلُوا مَتَاعَ صَفِيَّ عَلَى جَمَلِ عَيْشَ وَحَوِّلُوا مَتَاعَ عَيْشَ عَلَى جَمَلِ صَفِيَّ. He told the Sahaba, do me a favor, take Aisha's bedding and put it on Safiya's camel, and take Safiya's bedding and put it on Aisha's camel. Now this is where I want to draw your attention to understand what maturity and what role the Nabi of Allah played in cementing the relation. When he did this, Aisha radiallahu anha did not like the idea. And she said, غَلَبَتْنَا هَذِهِ الْيَهُودِيَّةُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. This Yahudi woman, this wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, once again she got her way and she's dominating what she wants to do. I don't know why she comes with other options and motives and then she has to use my camel. Now we know Safiya radiallahu anha's father was a Yahud, a very staunch Yahud. So she made reference towards that. Now look at the statement and how emotional she got. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ya Umm Abdullah, inna mata'aki fihi khifun, wa mata'u safiya fihi thiqlun, Don't get so emotional. Your bedding was light. Safiya's bedding was heavy. Your camel was fast. Her camel was slow. فَحَوَّلْنَا مَتَاعَكِ عَلَى بَغِيرِهَا وَمَتَاعَهَا عَلَى بَغِيرِكِ. All I did was I changed the beddings and that's all. Look at the competence and the composure of Nabi alayhi salam. She then looks at Nabi alayhi salam and she says, أَلَيْسَ تَزْعُمُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. But then don't you claim to say you're a prophet? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I am a prophet. Why you doubt me, Aisha? فَحَلَّا عَدَلْتَ. If you're a prophet, where's fairness and where's justice? My camel, why must I carry somebody else's load? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and hit her one. Nabi alayhi salam held Abu Bakr. Mahlan ya Aba Bakrin. Abu Bakr, leave her. Awalam tasma' ma qalat. But oh, Nabi, look at her, how she's talking. How can she, you know, blatantly speak to you and back answer you? Nabi alayhi salam said, no, O Abu Bakr. Don't you know when a woman is overpowered by this sentiment that is natural in her, she cannot see right from wrong or top from bottom. This is natural. Leave her alone. Look at the patience. Aisha radiallahu anha says, when Nabi alayhi salam got married to Umm Salma radiallahu anha, hazintu huznan shadida. I became so sad that I became sick. And the only reason for this was, let me openly tell you, Aisha radiallahu anha says, people told me she's a very beautiful woman. So I said, I cannot handle this. Till today, I enjoyed the privilege of... Now, often this happens, brothers. You know, for me to put it in a crude way, in my understanding, the greatest problem or the greatest reason of problems between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is because of jealousy. In a nutshell, it is a bitter pill for a mother-in-law to see the prosperity of her daughter-in-law. What an irony of a situation we have. When my son-in-law buys for my daughter, what a nice son-in-law, Allah reward him, such a good person. But when my son buys for my daughter-in-law, you know, not nice to say, but the woman of today, they put in a lot of demands on the men. If my daughter-in-law can only learn to live with little sabr, inshallah, my son will be happy. Poor son of mine has to run everywhere. But on the contrary, when my son buys for my daughter, Allah reward my son-in-law, what a nice person. Is it not jealousy? That a woman, but no, this is natural. Now Allah has given men sense of understanding. Some people in every argument, the word talaq features. In every argument, the word, how immature are you? She said, I went to go have a look at Salma, Umm Salma radiallahu anha. When I looked at her, فَوَاللَّهِ رَأَيْتُهَا أَضْعَافَ مَا وُصِفَتْ لِي مِنَ الْحُسْنِ. I found her to be 1,000 times more beautiful than what I heard. I got even more depressed. And my depression made me sick. I couldn't contain myself. I then spoke to one of my co-wives. I said, Hafsa, you know what? I'm going into a depression here. This other wife, she's very beautiful. So Hafsa, I'm not talking of any story. I'm talking of the consorts of Nabi alayhi salam. Hafsa radiallahu anha says, no, you know what? You becoming emotional. I seen Umm Salma. Nothing to shout about. She's a good woman. But don't get so emotional about it. She says, we went back to see Umm Salma radiallahu anha. And then I realized it was my emotions that got the better of me. And it was nothing else. But this was the tolerant nature of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is busy sitting and speaking with his wife. And then his wife tells him, why don't you do this? So he gets upset and he says, you're demanding to me and you're dictating to me. So his wife back answers him and tells him, the riwayat comes in Bukhari, عَجَبًا لَكَ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ مَا تُرِيدُ أَن تُرَاجِعُ وَإِنَّ بَنَتَكَ لَتُرَاجِعُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Umar, I'm really astonished at you. You don't want, we must back answer you. But you know, your daughter back answers Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't know, you must go and find out. He says, I left this and I went immediately to my daughter. I knocked on the door. My daughter opened up. I said, Hafsa, your mother is telling me that you back answer Nabi alayhi salam and sometimes he doesn't speak to you for a day. Is this true? She says, nothing to hide. Wallahi inna lanuraji'u. Of course we back answer him. He says, I warned her. And I said, uhadhiruki uqubata Allahi wa uqubata rasulihi. I am warning you that don't ever become a victim of the displeasure of Allah. And then he also told his daughter Hafsa, listen, I don't want you to get ideas from Aisha. Leave her. She must do what she wants. So I don't want you to back answer Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Umar radiallahu anhu went to the other wife, Umm Salma. And from behind the curtain, he tells Umm Salma, my daughter is telling me that all you wives, you back answer Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you also back answer? So Umm Salma radiallahu anhu said, عَجَبًا لَكَ يَبْنَ الْخَطَابِ. Umar, you like to interfere in everything. Now you want to interfere between us and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Leave us, sort your daughter and go. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I left and I came out. Imam Nawawi commentating on this hadith of Bukhari says two things. There's a lot of things. One is we learn that a man makes effort to discipline his daughter even after she is married. Nabi alayhi sallam told his daughter, لَا تَكُونِ الْمَرْأَى. Oh, my daughter, don't ever become that woman who constantly complains about her husband. And the second thing we learn is the tolerant nature of Nabi alayhi salam that he overlooked. He allowed his wives to back answer him and he was calm with the situation. There is a beautiful incident written. You know, with regards to patience and tolerance, about one Bedouin that got married, when a man would, give that peace and understanding to his wife, that is the greatest gift that he can give. Like one person, when he got married, he gave his wife two advices. He said, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ مِنِّي تَسْتَدِيمِ مَوَدَّتِي. Oh, my wife, overlook my faults and I promise my love for you is permanent. وَلَا تَنْتِقِي فِي وَقْتٍ. And don't ever backchat me when I'm angry. When I'm angry, don't ever backchat me. I read a beautiful couplet. Ya hasanat al-wajhi tawqt al-khana la tubdilna az-zina bish-shini. O beautiful lady, harness your loose tongue. Don't taint your beauty with your loose words. O beautiful lady, harness your loose tongue. La tubdilna az-zina bish-shini. Wa ya qubhat al-wajhi, an unattractive lady, look after your tongue. Don't combine two negative traits within yourself. Nevertheless, what happens here? He gets married. He tells his wife, don't ever back answer me when I'm angry. And لا تكثري الشكوى. Don't constantly complain. فتذهب بالهوى. This will put an end to our relation. ويأباكي قلبي والقلوب تتقلب. Let it not be that my heart turns away, for verily hearts fluctuate. I haven't even spoken about the other aspect. My time is coming to lapse. The other aspect is when we bring the negotiating parties, when we bring an arbitrator into it. Yeah, again, the Quran says, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. The arbitrator should have the common goal of reconciling. If the intention is reconcilement, Allah says through arbitration, Allah will reunite them. Now, I have often mentioned this when we had to arbitrate in marital problems. Both the parties come and give the grievances, and that is why they separated, rightfully so. But let us not give our grievances to justify a separation, because then Allah will not unite. Give our grievances to see how we can come to common grounds. That is the reason then Allah says He will unite. Nabi alayhi salam comes to the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. Ali radiallahu anhu is not there. He asks Fatima, where is Ali? She says he's gone to the masjid. Now this is also wonderful, brothers. In an argument, if we walk out, it is splendid, so that we do not utter anything incorrect. But remember, if you walk out, you rather go to the masjid or then stay in your house, because the devil will exploit that situation. You walk out of your house angry with your wife, the devil is not going to leave you. There's a lot of women outside. The temptations are great. Then you rather stay in the house and back answer. That's better. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu came away to the masjid. This is something very important, brothers. You are provoked, you walk out, but where are you going now? You say, no, I'd rather leave it and make sabr. But what are you doing outside? You've defeated the whole thing. He came and he lied down in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi alayhi salam came and then seen him. He used a little gentleness and he said, Qum ya Aba Turab. A bit of lightheartedness. You must stand up, O father of sand. You know, because there was little sand traces on him. Sayyidina Ali stood up. Nabi alayhi salam took him home and then spoke to him and patched up. One day he heard Fatima and Ali had an argument. So immediately he came to the house and then he sat and then he reconciled. And he always encouraged his wife, his daughter, that you give in. It's your husband after all. After he patched up, he walked out. Sahaba said, خَرَجْتَ عَلَى دَخَلْتَ عَلَى حَالٍ وَخَرَجْتَ وَنَحْنُ نَرَى الْبِشْرِ فِي وَجْهِكَ. O Nabi of Allah, you entered sad, you came out happy. He said, وَمَا يَمْنَعُنِي وَقَدْ أَصْلَحْتُ بَيْنَ أَحَبِّ اثْنَيْنِ إِلَيَّ. Why should I not be happy when Allah made me the means of uniting those two that are most beloved to me? And I swear by Allah, if you can give your wife this peace and happiness and forgiveness, you have given her the greatest gift. I leave you with this beautiful couplet. There was this Bedouin that got married to a very wealthy woman, and then he went into poverty. The father took his daughter away. Anyway, the matter went to the governor, Marwan. Marwan looked at that woman, he fell in love. He forced that Bedouin, divorced him, and he got married. The Bedouin, now this is the weakness of a man. The Bedouin took the matter to the senior authority, to the Qazi and to the judge in Syria. He called the governor apologized, and he says, you know what, this is my problem. The judge looked at that woman, he fell in love with that woman. The Bedouin said, you know what, I'd rather take my wife and go from here. One after the other, you've fallen in love. Cutting a long story short, the judge then asked this woman, look here, I want you, the governor wants you, and the Bedouin wants you. You make a choice, what do you want? أَيُّنَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْأَمِيرُ فِي قَصْرِهِ وَشَرْفِهِ أَوْ مَرْوَانُ فِي غَصَبِهِ أَوْ هَذَا الْأَعْرَابِيُّ فِي جُوعِهِ وَأَطْمَارِهِ. Now these are thought-provoking words, and this is when you give your wife patience and love, you've given her the world. She said, هَذَا وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي جُوعٍ وَأَطْمَارٍ أَعَزَّ أَهْلِي أَعَزَّ عِنْدِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَمِنْ جَارِي. This husband, even in his shack and his poverty, has given me such love that is more beloved to me than my own parents. وصاحب التاج أو مروان عامله وكل ذي درهم منهم وديناري. This king with his crown on his head, or this governor, they can only give me wealth, a palatial home with no love. There's nothing that can replace the love. I want this Bedouin in his poverty. Brothers, I leave you with the words of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam said, a man is a pauper without a woman, even if he's a multi-millionaire. And a woman is a pauper without a husband, even if she's a multi-millionaire. I swear by Allah, your wealth is your wife. And oh my sister, your wealth is your husband. Let us embrace one another, overlook the flaws of one another. May Allah Ta'ala put happiness, muhabbat and barakat, and strengthen our relations, and save us from talaq and divorce. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.